Needless to say, it's good to be back with you again, and I'm continuing to pray for this assembly and some of the issues that you all are dealing with, and I thank God for those who have been praying for us and our family and some of the things that we have been dealing with. We are just finding that God is continuing to be faithful through it all, and we again thank God for the opportunity to be with you today. Let's open up in prayer. God and our Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for this opportunity to share from your word. We pray, Lord, that we would all be encouraged and challenged by this word today, that you will speak to us and that you will speak through us. And for that, we'll thank you in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We, like you, are on our Sunday morning meetings, do expository type teaching. We are going through a book. We're actually going through the book of Acts right now, and you all are going through the book of Ephesians. And we just believe that it's a good way to teach our folks on Sunday mornings, kind of going through a book so that, you know, we can do a systematic study of God's word. But because of the nature of the passage this morning, we are going to be asking you to turn to a couple of different scriptures. I can only give this to you the way the Lord gave it to me, and so we trust that you're going to be blessed by it. You see on the screen there the chosen topic for today's teaching. This is my phone. This is the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus. State of the art, cutting edge technology. This is supposed to be the top of the line. And it runs at what has been called 4G speed. Yeah, that's supposed to be right now the top of the line. It has to do with, you know, they say it's 10 times faster than the 3G was. It has to do with the speed in which data can be uploaded and downloaded and things of that nature. I got Sprint, so I don't know. But yeah, this is top of the line, and this is supposed to work as quickly as any could work. And so today in this passage, I want to consider that the body of Christ should also be operating at 4G speed. 4G speed representing, this is it. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. And I believe that we can find some direction for that here in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. I normally teach from the King James Version. The version that was read to you today was a little different. So if you'll indulge me, it won't take me long. I just want to read this passage again, beginning at verse 11. And he himself gave some to the apostles. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Here, I believe we have the apostle describing the nature of the spiritual leadership in the body and their purpose. God has appointed some men in the body of Christ, some women in the body of Christ. All of us, as a part of the body of Christ, have a particular job to do. It's absolutely amazing. You know, we hear it all the time. And sometimes I'm not sure we really get the import of it, is that we are the body of Christ. We're his body. We're his body. You know, everything that I get accomplished, everything that I have ever got accomplished, I've been able to accomplish because I have this body. And in the same way, everything that Jesus Christ accomplishes in the world today is accomplished through his body. We are his body. And this passage is exhorting us to operate at what I have called this 4G speed, operating the way that God called us to, operating the way that is biblical, operating the way that God has ordained for us to operate as a body. And so it is incumbent upon each of us as believers to know and understand, I believe, what these scriptures are going to teach us today. Let's start at verse 11. Okay, it's on. Okay. I want this to be interactive this morning. Turn to somebody and say, the giver. Yeah. Verse 11a, and he himself gave. I want to consider just for a couple of minutes the giver. This ministry gifting, these areas of ministry are established by none other than Yeshua HaMashiach himself, Jesus the Christ. They are his appointment. They are not the appointment of man. It is a divine institution and not a human invention. And he gave. He gave. Up in verse 4, I think it was a passage that my brother John dealt with last week. Up in verse 4, Paul says that there is one body. It's his body. And because it's his body, he ordains the ministry. You know, it's like, you know, marriage was God's idea. And since it was God's idea, then God is the only one who can determine what marriage is supposed to look like. And so because this is Jesus' body, it is he who determines how this thing is supposed to work. It's a divine institution, not human invention. In the same way that our physical bodies, my mother-in-law a few weeks ago suffered a stroke. My goddaughter just a couple of days ago suffered a stroke. There's something wrong with the body. The brain isn't getting the signals that it is supposed to get from the different parts of the body. And so as a result of that, my mother-in-law was paralyzed on her right side, and so is my goddaughter. The body's not operating the way that it should. We are the body of Christ. It would be a shame if in the spiritual sense, just like in the physical sense, there was like a spiritual stroke in the body and it's not operating the way that it's supposed to. Each of us has a particular role in the body of Christ. And he himself, the Bible says, is the giver of these particular roles. Our bodies were designed to work effectively. And in the same way, our spiritual body, we, the body of Christ, are designed to work in a particular way. God designed this body. And, you know, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If your nose was upside down, every time you got caught in the rain without an umbrella, you'd have to walk around like this. And let's not even think about sneezing. You get my point. Our physical bodies were fearfully and wonderfully made and designed so that we could get some things accomplished and designed so they could be accomplished efficiently. And the body of Christ is built the same way. And as we begin to go through these gifts that we're going to talk about, we're going to see that the reason why God did this is so that we can effectively be able to operate and do the things that we're supposed to be doing as the body of Christ. The giver, he himself, he's the giver. He is the one that granted these gifts, watch this, on the basis of his will and no merit of the recipient. Oh, I like that. Where God placed me in the body of Christ and what God has called me to do in the body of Christ, it was based on his will and not on my merit. I've said before, if when I got saved, the process was God said, okay, now that you're saved, you can choose what you want to do. And there was like a kind of a list of things. Roy, I'd have probably chose something else. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You know, but it's a little bit more flashy, you know what I mean? I would have probably chose something else. But it wasn't by the will of man. It wasn't because of anything about man himself. It was God gifting us and placing us where he wants us to be because of his own will and his own pleasure. Wherever you are in the body of Christ, I've said this before, the greatest job in the body of Christ is the job that God gave you. The Bible says he himself gave. Now, I operate in the ministry area of pastor teacher. Matter of fact, I'm operating in it right now. Talk about that a little bit more later on. When I came to Montgo Bible Fellowship over 20 some years ago, I had no inkling, no idea, and not really even any desire to become a part of the pastoral staff there. When my wife married me 43 years ago, she had absolutely no idea that she was marrying someone who God was eventually going to call into this particular area of ministry. And so it wasn't just, somebody just indiscriminately laying hands on me or somebody saying, hey, you know what, I think you should be a pastor. The Bible says, and he himself gave. This is not something that other men can give you. It's not something that you can give yourself. It is an area of ministry to which God calls us himself. The Bible says, and he himself gave. It is he who gives. Is it going to work for me? All right. Let's look at the next part of that verse, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave, and here's the listing. Some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Look at somebody and say, the gifted. Yeah. We're working towards operating at 4G. We got to the second G. We're on the way. We talked about the giver. Now we're going to look a little bit at the gifted. And the Bible says that he himself, Jesus Christ, you know, in the earlier portion there where it talks about Jesus Christ being the one who descended and then ascended. I'm sure John probably tore that up last week. We're talking about this. This is looking at Christ as the triumphant one, the one who was triumphant over death, the one who descended into the grave and then ascended back up into heaven. And now from the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ is pouring out gifts and gifted men into the body and onto the body of Christ. And he himself gave the gifted. Each one of these particular areas of ministry could be a series, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on any particular one, but just want to kind of look at some things so I believe we have just kind of a basic understanding of some of these ministry gifts. The first one is apostles. The word apostle means he that is sent. I call this apostle capital A, and I'll tell you why. Write this down in Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And in verse 5 there in Matthew chapter 10, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out. Mark chapter 3, verse 13, and he went up to the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that they might send them out to preach. An apostle is one who was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's apostle with a capital A. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness of his resurrection. Here they're going to find somebody that's going to take the place of Judas Iscariot. And in verse 23, they propose two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Apostles were those who were chosen by Jesus Christ himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Paul speaking, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? An apostle is one who was an eyewitness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's apostle with a capital A. There's so many men that are calling themselves apostles today. Biblically, an apostle was one who was an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also one who Jesus Christ called himself. Now, I said apostle means sent one. In the broader sense, each one of us has been called to operate in this particular area of ministry. The Great Commission for all of us was to go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. So in that way, we are, I say apostles with a small a, not the office of the Old Testament and the New Testament apostle, but one who is called and one who is sent to go. That's how the body works. We need that gifting in the body of Christ today. We need those who have been called. We need those who have been sent out to do the work of the gospel. Next, we have prophets. A prophet is one who has the gift of speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's unpack that a little bit. Let's start with the gifting of the prophets in the Old Testament. Prophets had the task of faithfully speaking God's word to the people, and in many instances, they were instrumental in guiding the nation of Israel, often concerning future events. I think Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Elijah, just to name a few. These were Old Testament prophets who were raised up to speak the word of God to the people of God. Turn with me real quick, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 19, I think. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, small p, since the world began. Look at verse 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among all the people. Anybody have that word prophet there, capital in your Bibles? This is a messianic prophecy of the coming Messiah, this one who is the prophet, capital P. And Moses is said, and was back in Deuteronomy, that God's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. So then, for the New Testament ministry of prophecy, we can look as an example to this man Moses, because Moses said that God's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. And so Moses becomes typical. He becomes like a prototype for not only Old Testament, but New Testament prophecy. So let's consider some things about Moses. If you remember the call of Moses, Moses is in the desert and he sees a burning bush and he goes over to see this bush because it's burning but it's not being consumed. And the word of God says that God called to Moses out of this burning bush. And so, just as in Old Testament prophecy, it is in New Testament prophecy, the call comes from God. What were some other things about Moses? Well, in this particular office, oftentimes those who are called to this office are very reluctant to walk into it. Because you got to remember, a lot of times in the Old Testament, the prophet would bring the word of God about some impending judgment. So, you know, like you know, you're sitting home, you know, with the wife having a cup of coffee, and you look out the window, and your wife says, who's that coming down the road? And you look out, and you go, oh, man, I think that's Ezekiel, you know? A lot of times people weren't too anxious to see the prophet or hear what the prophet had to say. And in the same way today, in this New Testament ministry, you're going to find oftentimes that folks are not so anxious to hear what you have to say. Moses was not only rejected, his message was not only rejected by Pharaoh, but it was sometimes rejected by his own people. And so Moses is a prototype of the Old Testament and New Testament prophet that we can look to, and we need people today in the body of Christ who are operating in this particular area of ministry. Now, we believe that in the New Testament ministry of the prophet, it is more of a forthtelling than a foretelling. It is a forthtelling of what God has already said. There is one example in the New Testament of a man called Agabus that actually did give a prediction. But the reality is that the majority of what we're talking about in the New Testament as prophecy is men and women speaking what God has said, and what God has said is found in this book. That was the other thing about Moses. After God called Moses from the bush, he said to Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And what did Moses do? He went and stood in Pharaoh's face and said, thus saith the Lord. That is the bottom line and foundation of this ministry of prophecy. It is thus saith the Lord. And what thus saith the Lord is in these 66 books. Oh, this is the one area of ministry in the body of Christ that has been abused to the point of being sometimes absolutely ridiculous. But that does not eliminate the need for this ministry gift in the body of Christ. We need folks who will stand flat-footed in the face of authorities, in the face of enemies, and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Jesus gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, obviously, everyone who speaks forth a message is not actually a prophet of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible warns about in the later days there would come false prophets. And my thing is, well, if there's a false prophet, then there must be a real prophet. There would be no need to say there are false prophets if there weren't real prophets. You know, it's like money. You know, if there was no real money, there wouldn't be anything as counterfeit money. And so there would be false prophets. The Bible said it would come, and if they were left to their own devices to actually to deceive those who elect, who are the elect, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, prophets. The next area of ministry, evangelists. The evangelist is one who is a bringer of good tidings, specifically the good tidings of the gospel. Yeah, the bringer of good tidings. Timothy was told to do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is a bringer of good tidings. And I've said before, if you're not bringing it, and if it's not good news, it's not the ministry of the evangelist. I think of many evangelists of the past. I think of men like Dr. B. Sam Hart. I think of men like Billy Graham. If you ever get a chance, sometimes they show some of Billy Graham's old messages on television. And I sit down and I watch Billy Graham, and I'm just awed at the gift of God. It's not fancy, no big words, not a whole lot of deep theology, but an unmistakable gifting from God to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I watch him and I say, oh my goodness, how does he do that? Well, he does it because of the gifting that God has placed on him and now placed him in the body of Christ. We need in the body of Christ those who are gifted in the area of evangelism, those who will go out and stand on the corners and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news is not that you're going to hell. The good news is that you don't have to. The gifting of the evangelist. Here's the next one. Pastor teacher. Now, I'm in the camp, because of the construction of the language, I believe that these two go together. I don't believe this. There's the gifting that has it's pastor and then teacher. I believe those two giftings come together because of the construction of the language. I mean, I'm not going to go to battle over this, but it's just kind of how I feel. It's the gifting of the pastor teacher. The word pastor is the word herdsman or the word shepherd. And the word teacher means to instruct, specifically in the truth of God's word. Boy, I'll tell you, it is a high calling. The Bible says, be not many teachers, for ye shall receive the greater condemnation. I mean, every gifting of God is a special and an anointed gifting. But the calling of those who operate in the ministry of pastor-teacher, it is a tremendous calling that carries with it great responsibility and great reward. Now, if you were to come to Monco and you were to point to me and ask somebody, who is that? You know what they would say? That's Pastor Sam. Almost all of the members of Monco Bible Fellowship call me Pastor Sam. I said almost all of them. Because some call me Brother Sam, and some just call me Sam. For me, personally, and I believe biblically, the ministry of pastor teacher, that term pastor, is more a description of what God has called me to do than it is some title I am deserved because of the ministry that God has called me to do. You know, in the African-American church, I think some of it's cultural. I believe the folks in their way are acknowledging that particular ministry to which God has called you and how that ministry has an impact upon their spiritual and their practical lives. But beware of anyone who gets caught up in any kind of a title, whether it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, or pastor teacher. The ministry of the pastor teacher is a ministry where we have been called to instruct people in the Word of God, to help folks to unwrap and uncover the truth of God's Word. It is a particular ministry calling that will keep you in God's Word and keep you on your knees, or else God will not be able to effectively use you in that particular ministry office, the ministry office of the pastor teacher. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me just share this with you real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, nor for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. He's talking to the elders. He says, to the elders among you, I exhort. Most of us are familiar with the term elder. You have elders here at the chapel. But what it says of the elders, he says, I who am a fellow elder and a witness, he says to these elders, he tells them to shepherd the flock of God. Well, that word shepherd there is the same word that's used for pastor. So those who are elders were told to shepherd or pastor the flock of God among whom, he says, you are serving as overseers. That word overseers is the word that is translated bishop. So then, those who are elders have been instructed by God to pastor the flock of God as bishops or overseers. And so the term elder and the term pastor and the term overseer or bishop is talking about the same ministry area. And so for those who feel that, well, you know, a pastor's here, you know, but an apostle is up here. And an apostle is up here, you know, but a bishop is up here. And so you have these men giving themselves these titles which misrepresent the truth of God's word, when the reality is that an elder and those who work in the area of pastor teacher and those who call themselves overseers, it's the same ministry office, and it was given by God. And we need those in the body of Christ. Thank God for our elders and our pastor teachers who help us to understand the word of God. Who a lot of times are digging a lot deeper than we will, because a lot of us, we read our Bible every day, but we don't take time to study our Bibles. And so God raises up men who he's not only given a desire and a passion, but the ability to supernaturally be able to go into God's word and make it more plain to us. And thank God for that ministry gift. So we have the giver. We have the gifted. And next we have the goal. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers, watch this, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, it's one of my spiritual pet peeves, my brethren. The foundation of the job that God has called us to is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. At Monco Bible Fellowship, there's some folks who, if they go into the hospital for a couple of days, and even though they get visits from 3, 4, 5, 6 members of the assembly, they get bent out of shape if they don't get a visit from the pastor. There are those who invite their friends and neighbors to come to church because they want them to hear the pastor, and maybe they'll give their lives to Christ. No, my brothers and sisters, this work isn't just on those who God has gifted and given to the body of Christ. The work isn't just for them. It is our job and responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I've said before, Jesus didn't feed 5,000 people. Jesus blessed the bread and the fish. He broke it. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. It is our responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Don't work your elders to death. Don't put all of the work on the shoulders of those who you consider to be having the gift of evangelism, and those who you consider to have the gift of the pastor teacher, and those who you consider to have the gift of, you know, well, somebody else, you know, here my Lord, send somebody else. We have got to get to the place where we understand that God has given gifts to men and given those gifted men to the body of Christ so that they can equip us to do the work of the ministry. If you are not actively involved in doing the work of the ministry, both old and young, repent. That's the reason why God placed these gifted folks in our midst to equip us for the work of the ministry. That is the goal. Look what it says here. It says, for equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, watch this, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you understand what he's saying there? That the body of Christ is edified and built up when the saints are doing the work of the ministry. If you remember of the body of Christ in the broad sense, God has gifted you. God has given you something supernaturally that you didn't have before you got saved. And he expects you to use that for the building up of the body of Christ. But if God has called you to this particular local body, then he also expects you to use those gifts here for the edifying and the building up of this local body. And so for those who are complaining about some things here in this chapel, perhaps it is because you are not doing the work of the ministry which those who God has gifted and placed here are equipping you to do. That's when the body begins to be built up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of Christ. So this equipping of the saints and these areas of ministry are to be in operation, it says, watch this, until we all come to the unity of the faith. 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Now then, we still have got some work to do. Until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Have we arrived yet? Then I submit to you that these ministry areas need to be in operation because we have not yet come to the unity of the faith or the full knowledge of the Son of God. Or to a perfect man. That word perfect there means finished. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Are we done yet, Brother Roy? No, we're not there yet. And so all of these areas of ministry need to be in operation. That is the goal. The last G, the growth. Look at verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The implication there is false doctrine. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Boy, this verse is its own commentary. That we should no longer be children. Anybody got children? Yeah, children, they cry when they don't get their way. You know, they want what they want, and they want it now. Their children, God, I love them, but they can be very, very selfish and self-centered. Are you like that in spiritual things? Does it have to be your way? When things aren't done the way that you think they should be done, do you pout? Or do you say, I'm taking my toys and I'm going home? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I thank God for this place because you guys get some really good teaching. Except maybe when I'm here, I don't know. And so some of the things I see in other places, you know, might not necessarily be as much of a problem here. You know, where people are just, you know, they're listening to everything and, you know, everything that comes, and they just receive it and, you know, and they're tossed to and fro and, you know, they're just being sometimes deceived by these men who are misusing and mishandling the Word of God. But the Bible says that's growth. Growth is where you begin to be consistent, where you begin to be established, where you plant your feet, and when the wind blows, you're still standing. After the wind is finished blowing, that is the goal, and that is the growth. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Read it this way. For whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every believer supplies. What are you bringing to the table that is helping to expand the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ, not only here locally, but the body of Christ. You know how we talk about growth. You know, we had a goal, some financial goals. And so we had, you ever see, you wanted to do the thermometer, you know, and, you know, you have the different levels as the money goes up. Well, you know how we measure growth in our church? We did one of those thermometers for baptisms. See, we don't measure growth by the fact that we got 10 more people this year than we had last year if 10 of those people were just transplants from another assembly. That's not body growth. That may be church growth, but it's not growing the body. And so we measure the growth of the body by how many people have we brought to Christ and they're now getting baptized and now walking in the things of God. That, my brothers and sisters, is what church growth is supposed to look like. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every believer supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. That's what causes growth in the body. And the Bible says that the end result of it is the building up of itself in love. I believe that is the body of Christ operating at 4G speed. All of these areas of ministry being active. Everyone taking their part in the body of Christ. So that ultimately, and I'll close with this. If you notice each one of those areas of ministry, the apostle who was sent, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers, you notice that each one of those areas of ministry have to do with somebody taking the word of God to somebody else. That's the bottom line. Listen, man, folks, God didn't save us and leave us here, you know, just so that we could have awareness, you know, or just so that we could have fellowships and just so that we can come and hear a word, just so that we could come and sing some songs. I don't have to tell you what's going on in the news today. We all know what happened. And we pray for those who were injured, and we pray for the family of the person who was killed. Hey, folks, man, we need to get busy operating at 4G speed with all of these areas of ministry operating so that God can begin to do what he has called us to do in this world, and that is to take the gospel to a world that's dying. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we know this wasn't the easiest thing for us to hear, and certainly not the easiest thing, Lord, for me to deliver. But it's a challenge for us all today. You desire your body to operate in a particular way. You've gifted men and given those gifted men to us so that, Lord, we can do what it is that you've called for us to do in these last and evil days. And so we just pray, Lord, that we've been challenged today. Lord, maybe we've learned something or seen something in a way that we haven't seen it before. We just ask, Lord, that we'll take this word and put it to some practical use in our lives. That we'll find our first opportunity that we have when we leave here to do something about what we have read today. Lord, if we're not sure about our gifting, if we, Lord, have just kind of been sitting on it and not using it and not helping to build and edify the body, Lord, we pray that you'll just challenge us to get involved. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, you have a place for us and a job for us to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the giver. You're the one that called us. You're the one that gifted us. You're the one that's given us a goal, something to accomplish. And it is through the faithful doing of all of that that we'll begin to see growth in the body. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you, we honor you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless.